This is Matt Wells at UN News. Renewed violence in the Central African Republic, or CAR, that has included the torching of displacement camps and set back aid efforts to part of the embattled country will not diminish the international community's duty of hope, the UN top humanitarian official there has said. In an interview with Daniel Johnson of UN News, Najat Rushdie explains that although nearly 3 million people are in need of assistance and protection out of 4.6 million, there are some positive signs, including the return of previously displaced communities to areas of the southwest.
Based on our latest humanitarian needs assessment, we have more than 63% of the population today in Central African Republic who is in need actually of humanitarian assistance, and among them 1.6 million who are in acute need of humanitarian assistance.
Compared with how many last year? It's a spike, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we have almost 1 million more actually people in need of humanitarian assistance. But when you think that it's 2.9 out of 4.6 total population, this is where you realize actually that the situation is really very, very serious. And we have been able to come up with a number of assessments, you know, this year, including actually the food security assessment, IPC. And it was really very alarming to see that Central African Republic now has a number of people who are in level 4, which is just the level before of the famine. I'm not saying the famine is going to happen tomorrow, but I really would like to ring the bell, you know, and to alarm on the urgency to take measures and to have very urgent, you know, activities in terms of recovery. So on the one hand, the IDPs will be able to go back to work their field, so there will be an increase in the production, but also on the other hand, to provide them with some support, either through recovery, so we can really reverse the trend. If this is not happening, we will keep having more and more people in need of humanitarian assistance, and the vulnerability and food insecurity to increase, which is really a disaster already.
We should maybe talk about the background to the problems in CAR, Central African Republic. There is a very localized conflict, you say, between so-called Muslim armed groups and so-called Christian armed groups. But when you get to a community level, you say that there is no tension between religious groups. Nonetheless, there have been hundreds of thousands of displaced people, and a new tactic that you're seeing is that armed groups are burning down IDP camps, camps for internally displaced people. What is the new development, and how is it affecting your work?
Yeah, indeed. The communities have no problem absolutely to live together, to work together. And actually, they are really calling on better social cohesion. But unfortunately, the religion is very much instrumentalized by the armed groups and by others as well. And therefore, it is becoming more and more used as a way and as a trigger to a lot of attacks on civilian. This torching of IDP sites is definitely adding to despair, to the hopelessness, you know, of the IDPs, but also to their vulnerabilities. And I really hope this is not a pattern of a new modus operandi that we are seeing, but we see it happen in Batangafu. We have seen it happen in Alindao. And we are really trying to call on all the leaders, you know, whether religious leaders or more leaders or political leaders, actually to really go back to the armed groups and to remind them of their commitment to the peace dialogue and to the peace process. Because you cannot on the one hand attack civilian and kill civilian and on the other hand pretend that you are part of a peace dialogue.
In practical terms, what are you going to do now to help these people who say we will never go back to these camps because they've been torched, there is nothing there, we're not safe even?
Well, first of all, we are protecting them and we are providing them, of course, with protection. We will provide them definitely with the emergency humanitarian assistance, and that's about food distribution, this is about health, you know, services, this is about access to water, this is about sanitation, and hopefully it will be also about emergency education for the children, because there is no reason why those children should be kept into a traumatizing situation where they cannot even go to school and hope for a better future. So this we will keep doing. And actually the NGOs who are there and the UN agencies who are there, despite really the increase of violence and active armed groups, I have to say, the decision was still to stay and deliver and to provide the emergency humanitarian assistance to those population.
How many armed groups are there? How many are we talking about?
Officially, we're talking about 14 armed groups, but there are much more than that. But let's say that they are important armed groups, and those are the ones who are involved in those attacks. But the issue is not much about how many armed groups are there. I mean, it's how many of them have a clear chain of command, which would make it much easier for us, you know, as humanitarian, to negotiate the access, to negotiate the cessation of hostilities. And my concern as humanitarian coordinator is not that much about the number of armed groups. It's how much are they really committed to the peace dialogue, and how much they are really committed to cease hostilities and attacks on civilian, because the killing of civilian is really adding to the vulnerability and is unfortunately not a very good indicator, and certainly not a demonstration of good faith when it comes to their commitment to peace dialogue.
The UN, to some extent, you said, took on the role of the government last year, but you're hoping to change that slightly. Can you explain?
Yeah, well, listen, in a situation of immediate post-conflict, you know, it's just normal that UN with the partners, it's not UN alone, I mean, it's UN with the partners and the support of the donors, that somehow there is a kind of substitution, you know, when it comes to a number of activities and number of tasks. But obviously, 2 years and a half after, you know, all the investment that was put in Central Africa Republic and the capacity building that was ongoing, and also the reconstruction of a number of infrastructures, you know, justice infrastructure, rule of law, all of that, it is very important, actually, that we start witnessing a handover to the government, obviously. UN will remain there, and partners and international community will remain there to actually support the government in their fight against impunity and in their fight against human rights violation. And until now, anyway, UN and the partners are still, you know, providing the government with the capacity building, with the expertise, and also with the funding for them, actually, to be up to the expectations of their population. I mean, this is not done because of UN or international community. That was a very clear expectation from the population of Central Africa Republic during the Bangui Forum in 2015. And without this changing, and without really the government providing countrywide the basic services and the social services to the population won't see very tangible peace dividend. And it is very important for the stabilization of CAR and for the consolidation of the peace in CAR that the population has the sense of a peace dividend coming to them.
Sure, and accountability. And there is a special tribunal that is being set up slowly but surely. There is some good news, though, isn't there? You say that in the southwest, some internally displaced people are returning to their villages. So there is perhaps some hope on the horizon.
Yes, in the southwest, we have some spontaneous return of refugees from the neighboring countries. And that's really great. And it's not a small number, you know. And that's really an indicator that trust is there, you know, because peace is also about trusting the situation. It's about trusting the fact that going back to your country, going back to your village is really what you want and is really safe enough for you. It is obvious that for us, you know, it is very important that we start actually translating the nexus humanitarian and development at the early stage. So we don't wait until we are not anymore in a humanitarian situation to start actually recovery programs. And that will be very much, you know, the pattern for 2019 with three very important strategic objectives: prioritization, because we cannot do everything and we cannot be everywhere. And hopefully with the government taking more responsibilities, this is something that will help humanitarian to focus on emergencies and life saving. The second thing is really decentralization, because as you said very rightly, the conflict dynamic in CAR is very much localized, and we have to be there. And we need really to engage much more with the communities to improve our accountability to the affected population, but also to improve our responsiveness. And the third one is really to improve the quality of our response by all means, in terms of timely response, in terms of addressing the needs, and in terms of priorities in terms of those needs. It's a heartbreaking for any humanitarian, you know, to come up with priorities. But unfortunately, we have to do it, and we have to do it to better serve and better assist the population who are affected in CAR.
I was going to ask you, it must be terribly difficult to have to make these choices. Were you expecting it to be such a challenging place?
Nobody can be prepared for that. I mean, whether you are humanitarian or not, I think that nobody can be prepared for that, despite all, you know, the experience you have and the understanding you have. I mean, I was in Batangafu, and I have to tell you, you know, just seeing all this, I cannot even find a strong enough word, you know, to describe the scene I have seen, you know, seeing all those shelters completely burnt, you know, gone, completely gone, and remembering that just 2 years ago we were there actually to help building them and bringing back hope and really trying to support the communities and the IDPs really to regain some trust and to regain some hope is really something you can never get used to. You can really never get used to. But the point is that we are humanitarian and we don't give up on people who need us. That's why we decided to stay and deliver. And that's why we are very much aware that in Central African Republic, we have a duty of protection because it is also a protection crisis. Of course, we have a duty of care, and caring is in our DNA anyway as humanitarian. But I think that more in anywhere else, there we have a duty of hope.